Pro Football Full Circle.
Second and goal, second in the game. There it is, caught, touchdown, Marquise Brown, and this game is over. It belongs to the Baltimore Ravens. A furious comeback.
We hit that peak that we needed, you know, at the right time, second half. And, you know, we just knew it was one play at a time. You know, that's all we kept saying in the huddle, like one play at a time. You know, don't get too hype over, you know, we get 20 yards on this play, you know, just take our time, and that's what we did.
All right, it is Football Full Circle. Holden Kushner here. George Kurtz there. SiriusXM 204 on Sports Grid Radio. Hello, George. What a night last night between the Ravens and the Colts. Probably my biggest comeback bet this season, a plus 360. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I was on the Ravens as well, so very happy that they came back. But let's face it, man, that was the Colts snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. I mean, that they had that game won, and then that's a big choke. Anyway, you look at a big choke. Defense choked. Special teams choked. Choke.
So here's the deal with that. And before we even get down to what happened during that game, I found something today. I think it's Michael David Smith who threw this out here, that we've got kickers who were so just awful this week. So NFL teams, Michael David Smith, the NFL team successful 92.4% of extra point kicks and 63.9% of two-point conversions this year. So your expected points for kicking are 0.9. I think we talked about this yesterday. Expected points going for two are 1.3. So every time you kick, you're giving up 0.4 points. Now, I do want to put that into context, though. This was an egregiously horrible weekend for kickers. So I don't know if that is going to continue. But let's face it, George, that game last night should have been the Colts' victory. I mean, you've got multiple kicks that are being missed. I don't know if it's just something where other kickers are feeling this mojo from around the world, but the biggest story for me this weekend, well, besides the whole Gruden thing, kickers, it really is amazing. And again, it saved my ass betting last night, and I'm sure it ruined a lot of people's nights if you were back in the Colts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, this game is what? Was it 25-9? 25-9. All right, Ravens come down, score a touchdown, get a two-pointer. No big deal, right? Okay, you know, Indianapolis drives. They got a field goal tip. It's blocked. And by the way, it was I don't know what happened on that blocking scene. That guy was almost – he could have caught the snap. That's how much he blocked that. All right, so bad luck. But then, once again, Ravens come down, and they get it again. Touchdown and a two-point conversion. That's what's amazing here. They converted two drives with the touchdowns and got two two-point conversions here. But it wasn't over there. Indianapolis drives down again, and the Ravens defender, I forget who it is, takes a stupid penalty. Yes, I know the refs missed the fact that he was mushed on the ground with a Colts player, number 84, pushed his helmet to the ground. He should have gotten a personal foul as well, or offsetting, whatever you want to call it. But still, stupid. Get up on your feet and then hit him. They always catch the second guy. 15-yard penalty. Keeps the Colts drive alive, and you get another shot at a field goal. Once again, it would have been a game-winning field goal. There was 6 seconds left in the game, and it's not even close. And he shanks that terribly. And that's just the way the whole weekend went, right? I mean, I believe we missed something like 14 field goals this weekend. It was over, if you count extra points, it was well over 20 missed kicks this weekend. I mean, we had the guy on Cincinnati who was celebrating a missed kick. Remember? You know, he thought he won the game. He's jumping into his player's arms here. Buddy, it's no good. No good. He actually said in an interview after the game that he thought the refs were kidding with it, that they were joking when they were waving it no good. Yeah, because refs do that all the time, buddy. They always wave no good. That's a joke. Just kidding. Just kidding. Oh, you won. It's all right. You know, we're just playing here. You know, I mean, I couldn't believe it. Really? You thought they were kidding? Yeah, because that's what they're doing, everybody on TV. No, oh, no, you didn't lose your bet, buddy. You know, we're just kidding. It's good. So I found that hilarious that he thought it was good. Buddy, it was obviously no good here. Oh, what, did you just kick it and go, hey, I got it? No, it didn't happen that way. So, yeah, the weekend for kickers was bad. The Monday for the Colts was worse.
Yeah, and once the Ravens got within 8, that's when I backed in the plus 360. I said to myself, this game is kooky enough. We might actually pull this thing out. And it happened. Like, I needed two missed kicks, and we got two missed kicks. Lamar Jackson, 37 of 43, 442, and four touchdowns, no picks. What was I telling you yesterday? he's going down the field a lot more, and he's really, really accurate, too, when he's going down the field. So we saw Marquise Brown with 9 for 125 and 2 touchdowns. We saw Mark Andrews, not quite as big a plays, but he was playing for his grandmother who passed away last week, 11 for 147 and 2. Very concentrated passing attack because he had 23 of his 43 targets going to two guys. But ultimately, Lamar Jackson's a different guy now. He couldn't come back. Well, he came back yesterday. Of course, you need help coming back there. He can't throw the ball. He's a running back. Well, now he can throw the ball. He's plus 1,200 for MVP, George Kurtz. Lamar Jackson is plus 1,200 for MVP. Josh Allen, 450. Kyler Murray, 500. Prescott, 600. Herbert, 600. Brady, 800. Rodgers, Stafford. All these guys ahead of Lamar Jackson. Plus 1,200. But you brought up a good point. It comes down to the voters, even if this guy is the most valuable player in the league.
Yeah, listen, you don't have to convince me about Lamar Jackson. All right, great player. He was 37 of 43 for 442 yards yesterday and 4 touchdowns. 37 of 43 for 442. He accounted for over 500 yards of total offense. He counted the 62 yards of rushing. Fantastic game by Lamar.
Yeah, I want to continue this conversation with the MVP. We also got to talk about the Raiders here, and not just from the Gruden perspective. How are they going to look this week against the Broncos?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Holden Kushner in for Joe. Got George Kurtz with us here. Sports Grid Radio, SiriusXM 204. George Kurtz just got a little bit of news during the break. Dallas Goedert is on the COVID list. Going to be tough to get him out for Thursday. Zach Ertz has been very, very involved in this offense. I think the loss of Goedert, obviously, is a big one, though, if he ultimately cannot play. Because the Eagles already... at least they're getting seven and a half points against the Bucs. Total here is 51.5. But boy, if Goedert is out, now you lose a huge target in a game where I think you and I would agree the Eagles are going to have to pass a ton, aren't they?
But don't they pass a ton anyway? They pass a ton every game. They don't even believe in running the ball. I thought maybe when they were playing the Cowboys and then who'd they play after that? The Chiefs. I thought, okay, they've given up on the run. They know they're going to score a bunch of points. Running's not going to help them. Fine, I get it. But then you played Carolina, and you're still not running the ball. I mean, they've just given up on the run. Maybe Sanders isn't the guy they think he is, or they thought he was, or they just have no faith in their run game here. But they're very likely to have three number one picks next year, and they're also very likely where they might be three top 10 picks. Think about that for a second. And generally, we don't take running backs early anymore, right? In the NFL, they don't do that. But the Eagles are going to have to do something with the run game. And if you don't believe in Sanders, you don't believe in Gainwell, and I get it. They're not big guys. They're not traditional between-the-tackle runners. They're not going to hit the A-gap or the B-gap. I get that. But then you better go out and find somebody. Because right now, they have no run game, and this is hurting Jalen Hurts. It's hurting Jalen Hurts because we don't know. I don't think the Eagles know for sure yet if he's the quarterback of the future. Is he the franchise guy? And they need to know before they spend those picks next year in the top 10. Because once again, do they need to take a quarterback? Do they need to trade two of those picks to move up and get the number one overall pick? Or maybe all three to move up and get the number one overall pick so they can get the guy they want here. So the Eagles are sort of a mess here. It's good news for me. Once again, I'm the Cowboy fan. Good. But fly, Eagles, fly. Go fly into some concrete. Not a big Eagles guy. And one thing I had bet last night, Joe Ranieri talked me into doing a teaser. We teased Baltimore last night. Got that. Lucky, but we got it. And Tampa Bay is the second part of that teaser. So now we got them down to one. And a guy like that a whole bunch. No Dallas Goedert. He dropped a touchdown pass on Sunday. Unlikely he plays Thursday. I do not know his vaccination status, but let's assume he is vaccinated. It means he'll need two negative tests within 24 hours. So if he has a negative test tomorrow at 9 a.m., he'll need another negative test Thursday at 9 a.m. He gets them both, he can play. That would seem unlikely.
You know what's interesting, too, and this is fascinating. Everybody thought that Zach Ertz was done. Then you get Peterson out of town. Ertz is second on the team in targets with 25. Goddard has 19. So Ertz has really turned into the higher leverage target for Jalen Hurts. It's surprising to me when we see Ertz involved down near the goal line. So maybe, I mean, I think this is big because Goddard is tied for fifth in targets on this team. But Zach Ertz has really taken over the number one tight end job, at least in the passing game. And I think that'll be interesting when looking at the props here, because don't we have to look at Zach Ertz, who's been targeted, five times a game, and maybe try and extrapolate that and see what kind of number we can get on him?
Absolutely. He seems to be, and it's not surprising that it's Ertz is Hurts' favorite target, tight end, close to the line of scrimmage. Eagles' offensive line not playing great. So, he doesn't have a lot of time to throw the ball deep to Devonta Smith or Rigor for that matter. So I don't think I'm all that surprised here. I'm probably more surprised it's Ertz and not Goddard, even before COVID, right? Because Ertz, we thought, was going to be moved. I thought he'd be moved on the offseason, right, before the season started. Now you're thinking, okay, maybe he's going to be moved before the trade deadline, which is November 2nd, which I still think is a possibility. Ertz is a free agent after the year. So we'll see if that can happen there. But Ertz is having a fantastic year that most of us didn't see coming. And by the way, Ertz was on the COVID list, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I actually thought that there would be more issues with the COVID list. To this point, I think we've actually gotten pretty lucky, to be perfectly honest with you. The fact that we haven't had a full team outbreak, where they have to deal with that, a little bit surprising. Also seeing the Eagles at both books where I saw the props were up last night, they have taken them down. So no Ertz props. They were smart enough to say, okay, good idea. We're going to take these props down. Did hit a prop last night, though. I saw Antonio Brown over 58.5 yards in that game. Hit it at 58.5, and then I woke up this morning and said, gosh, you know what? I probably didn't put enough money down on that, and then hit it at 59.5. If we're talking Bucks and Eagles, just real quick, what are your thoughts on this game at -7 for the Bucks? Because you would think, I know it's coming off the highly emotional game, a little bit of rest here, but actually it's not coming off the highly emotional game. It's been a little while. You think the Bucs just go out there and put up a ton of points against the Eagles? Is that what it's going to be? Their total is 30.
I would have no doubt about that if it was a Sunday game. I do have some pause because it's a Thursday game. They're the road team. And, you look at the numbers here. We all know the numbers. The Thursday road team, not good for them, right? They don't have enough days of practice and all that. Brady does apparently have a thumb injury. I have no doubt he's playing. He'll play fine. So I guess there is some pause there. But that being said, if you're asking me where my money's going Thursday night, yeah. Bucks are going to score points. I can't see how the Eagles are going to slow them down. I can't. I mean, Godwin, Evans, Brown, they don't have enough cornerbacks to cover. Darius Slay's a good corner, but he can't cover all three. He just can't. So, yeah, I think Brady eats. I think the offense eats. I already mentioned you got that teaser. That'll be Tampa -1. I'll be on Tampa straight up as well. And no doubt in my mind, the over is certainly in play. And you're right, I might take the over for the game because I think Eagles will score some points too. Remember, Tampa has no – I mean, didn't you get the call? They play a cornerback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Because they have no cornerbacks. Mm-hmm. None. Nil. Nada. And they're not coming back Thursday. So I think there's going to be lots of points coming in this game. I'll be on a lot of overs here.
So 51.5 is the total I'm seeing. That's just a sheer over. As I'm looking at it, it just went from 51.5 to 52 at three books.
All right. It's not getting lower. Minutes.
No. This thing went from 50.5 to 51.5. Where do you think it closes? 52.5? Is that a number that would entice enough bettors to bet the under?
I mean, I would take the over at 53. I think there's a ton of points coming. I think you already said it. Phil Davis is going to have to throw the ball all day. It's a smart thing to do against Tampa anyway. You can't run against that team, that front. They're too good. But you can pass from now until the end of time. I'm not joking about the no cornerbacks. I know they got Richard Sherman. This is not the Sherman of old. He's not that lockdown guy anymore. And there's nobody else. There's literally nobody else there. So I think points are coming. You can't tell me the Eagles aren't going to score 24 points in this game. And I think Tampa gets over 30. That's light. If the final score was 30 to 24, I'd be like, oh, I got my over. Not as high scoring as I thought it would be. I think it's going to go, we're going to get over 60 points. So I'm on the over here no matter what it goes. And like I said, it's not getting any lower. It's not. It's going to keep climbing.
Wow.
High. I imagine by game time it's 52.5. That would be my guess if I was to place a bet on that. But 53 wouldn't shock me either because I think all the money is coming in on the over.
George, this is more of a betting theory thing, but I am just when I see totals that are in the 50s, my strategy has been to wait for the first drive, and if the team with the ball doesn't get it, I'm automatically getting a better number. If they do get on the board, true, just wait, and at some point in time, if I miss the bet, then I miss the bet. I was talking to Morenci about this. He's like, oh, man, I missed this bet. I said, there's a lot of great bettors that are like that. They get more upset about the bets that they didn't make than the ones that they even lose. For me, it's easy. It's like, okay, there's a million other bets I can make if this one doesn't pan out. So I actually want to get this thing down below 50. And if we can do that with the Eagles or whoever has the ball first, they don't score, we're going to be right around that number. I know it's a risk, George, but that's the way I'm going to be handling this total. I'm not going to go straight in and bet the over. I just don't have the conviction you have. I wish I did. Then I wouldn't have to worry about pouncing on it live. But I don't have that conviction right now, George.
We all do stuff like that. It's funny you should bring that up. Ranieri and I did that same exact thing in the Baltimore game last night. We didn't like taking Baltimore minus the 7.5. It went up a half when you and I did the show earlier today. So I was like, let's wait to see. Maybe Ravens won't score the first drive or two. If they didn't, we got a much better price, and we won in the end.
Yep, that's what I do too. It's a good strategy if you're okay with passing up that. We're going to talk about the Raiders. What are they going to look like against the Broncos? He's George. I'm Holden. Football.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Holden Kushner for Lisi, George Kurtz with me here. I just heard George mumble under his breath, hockey's back tonight. I know it's Football Full Circle, but the Kraken of Seattle are making their debut. It's back, my friend. It's on ESPN, so you get the greatest theme song in the history of sports. How happy is George Kurtz tonight before we get into the debacle with the Raiders as they head in to face the Broncos?
Oh, I'm a hockey guy. I love hockey back tonight. You mentioned two games tonight, and I'm on the favorites on both. I think the Penguins and the Kraken, and I love the Kraken. What a name. I finally, Holden, for the first time ever, I got a name right on one of these new expansion teams, right? And I never get the name I want here, but I wanted the Kraken. I know it's kind of silly, but I wanted the Kraken. So love the name, but this is not a very good team. This is not the Vegas Golden Knights when they came in the expansion draft. They did not do anywhere near as well in the draft for whatever reason. But I'm going to be on Vegas tonight. They're playing the Kraken, and I'll be on Tampa Bay with defending Super Bowl champs, defending Stanley Cup champion tonight's in a parlay. So give me those various props as well. But hockey's back. Put the biscuit in the basket.
All right, let's go put the football in the whatever basket we want to do there. So, you know about Gruden. He's out. Raiders interim head coach Rick Bisaccia. He is a special teams coach for 20 years with Gruden. So he's been with Gruden for a long, long time. I don't know how to handicap this game now, and I'm sitting here in Denver, and my job is to handicap this game, okay? So here's what we got. Broncos have gone, they're minus 3.5. So the hook kind of stays. We didn't get much line movement here. Raiders plus 3.5. Total here is 44.5. Raiders plus 150 on the money line. I don't know anybody that bets 175 money lines, minus 175 money lines, but if that's what you do, by all means, you can back the Broncos there. What do we expect here, George? Because I'm up in the air. On one hand, you've got a Raiders team in disarray. On the other hand, you face a Broncos team that I think their coaching staff is walking the plank. Like, even if they win this thing, Fangio, while he's gotten a little more aggressive this year, they've been late to make adjustments. Last week we had them, the Steelers just running a very basic protection scheme with their offensive line. Zero adjustments. Absolutely no adjustments by the Denver coaching staff. It's been rough here with the Broncos. Do we even want to dip our toe in the water in this game, though, with the debacle in Las Vegas?
Well, Fangio is dead man walking, right? I think we know that. He's gone. They got to a nice start to the season, but you played a bunch of nobodies, right? A bunch of terrible teams, so you had to beat those teams. You beat the Giants and Jets. Congratulations. I'm real impressed. I think, what, Houston was the other team they beat here? Yay! What is it, how many wins did those teams combine for? Two? You know, you were wondering why you were winning games there. And Fangio, I think he's still complaining about Harbaugh getting his, you know, running it up. I don't even think it was running it up, rushing it up, because he wanted the rushing yards thing. Yeah. Give me a break. See, Fangio complaining about that. Dan Campbell crying on Sunday because his team, oh, really? This is what we're doing now? We're crying? Just strange here. So I'm with you here about that. Yeah, the coaching is definitely a concern here, but the Raiders are in turmoil. I mean, they're in turmoil. You can't tell me they're going to be ready for this game. And, you know, have everything going to be in place here. And plus, they weren't playing all that well the last couple of games to begin with. Right? I mean, Derek Carr reverted back to, you know, so-so Carr. You know, every pass is like, seems to be, they're paying homage to Al Davis. Every pass has to be 40 yards down the field. So, and that's not always going to work there. I'm on the Broncos. You know, yeah, they didn't have a good first half versus Pittsburgh. You know, a tough place to play anyway. Played much better in the second half. Almost got back into it. So I'm going to be on the Broncos in this game because I think the Raiders are a mess right now. I sort of think of the Urban Meyer thing. And by the way, is there anybody happier about what's going on with Gruden than Urban Meyer? Because we're not talking about him anymore. Right? Now we're all over Gruden rather than Urban Meyer, you know, getting grinded on, not going back with the team and grabbing his female body parts. So that is what it is there. But Urban Meyer, he had his thing, and they got trucked. Right? They got wrecked. They're a bad team anyway. I get it. But the Raiders aren't that good either. I'm going to go with the Broncos. It won't be a large amount, but I'm going to go with the Broncos this week.
I hate that hook is my only thing. At least I've got a security blanket with three. But you make some great points. First of all, NFL coach has gone wild. What's going on with these guys? Settle down, gentlemen. Settle down. I will be honest with you. I also thought about Urban Meyer and how he's kind of getting off the hook here. So there's the next thing. And the last thing on this game would be, did we see the Raiders? Did we see what they're going to look like last week? So when they're playing the Bears, completely dysfunctional. Obviously, Gruden under a lot of pressure. Obviously, guys in that locker room not trusting the head coach. So we saw a team come out flat. Chicago hit him in the mouth. The offense was disjointed. Defensively, they're facing a rookie quarterback. I'm not so sure what I'm going to take out of that. But I would think if you are backing the Broncos, then what you saw out of the Raiders last week is going to factor into that decision to back Denver at 3.5, right?
Yeah, I think absolutely right. I just don't see I know sometimes, listen, teams can rally around turmoil. Yeah, but this is complete turmoil here, right? You just lost your head coach. Everything was built around John Gruden. It's the reason why Mark Davis gave him the 10-year, you know, $100 million contract. Everything was built around Gruden. He was the team. You know, I know usually it's the quarterback, is the marquee. No, this is Gruden was the everything. The face of the franchise was Gruden. And now he's done. And it's a mess about how this all came out. And, you know, there's so much about it. Gruden's getting crushed all over the place, right? I mean, you and I talked during the break. Keyshawn Johnson of ESPN has wrecked him, right? Definitely not on his Christmas card list, and he's not really wrecking about what's going on here. According to Keyshawn, he's been a fraud his whole career. You know, he's never liked Gruden. So that's not going away. And then you have other conspiracy theories that it's just funny how, you know, 65,000 emails, and these are the only bad ones that come out. What else is going on out there? And more conspiracy theories going, you know, Gruden probably has emails against people as well. And that's why he's still going to get paid his contract, or most of his contract. You know, it's like, Gruden's like, yeah, I got emails too. Okay, just go away. We'll give you $10 million or whatever it might be. So this is just a wild situation. I do wonder, you know, if it's not the last we're going to hear of it. If other things are going to come out of this, this all comes from the investigation of the Washington football team. And it's funny how Daniel Snyder right now has just gotten a slap on the wrist, and nothing's come out of it against him yet. So just like I said, if you're not an owner, you're screwed in these sorts of things. If you're an owner, you'll get away with it.
I have a conspiracy theory. I kind of feel like the NFL knew about a lot of this. And then
they
went to Dan Snyder. Then they said, okay, Dan, how about you just pass ownership over to your wife? Because if the owners cave in and get rid of what are theirs permanently, then who's the next owner to go? They don't want to set a precedent for this. That to me is my 100% theory on this. That this is a theory. Again, not fact. It has not been proven in a court of law. But my thing is the NFL knew about this. We had that debacle with the Washington football team broadcaster, Larry Michael, one of the worst people I've ever been around. He's gone now. Dan Snyder, been around that organization, one of the worst people I've ever been around. I think there was a deal that was made, and I have a hard time believing. Now, it's going to take a lot. It is going to take a lot to get Snyder booted from the Washington football team ownership, but you know that the owners are going to do everything they can to keep him in power, or at least as the number two there, but de facto number two there. Boy, this is this is just horrible. And let me also say this. I think in the long run, this is a blessing in disguise. Blessing in disguise. And why? This team drafted horribly. Mayock can't stay. Gruden coaches like it's 2001, not 2021. I think long term, you're not gonna agree with it. Not everybody's gonna agree with me. But this, to me, longer term, is a blessing in disguise for the Raiders. I think they've done these first five games smoke and mirrors. They wasted a pick on Josh Jacobs in the first round. They've had multiple first-round picks flame out under Gruden. Long term, now this is a disgrace right now, but long term, I think the Raiders organization is going to be better without him. What do you think?
I don't think you're wrong. Yeah, I don't. I think they could be better without him. I'll answer that question when I find out who they hire. Yeah, Rich Versace is just, he's just going to be the rest of the season. That's all he's going to do there. And you bring up an interesting point about NFL owners, by the way. Now, we all hear that NFL owners, they don't really like Snyder. They're not big fans here, but they don't want to get rid of him for what you said, because now they've set precedent. And now they're going to get caught. How many memes did we see on Twitter last night? I know I saw a bunch about how, the first call the NFL owners made was to their IT guys. Scrub this thing down, baby. Get rid of everything. Scrub it down. All right, because you can't tell me they don't have these kinds of emails to these old, guys who have been around forever. They weren't talking like that as well. Oh, man, the IT guys were busy last night getting in there 1 a.m. and scrubbing those servers down and getting rid of everything.
Yeah, it's dangerous. It's a dangerous time for these owners. Now, they're used to getting their way all the time. They're billionaires. They're Teflon. Things bounce off of them. This could be where Daniel Snyder goes down, but the only way that happens is if there's some really, really damning emails specifically from Dan Snyder, specifically. You can also tell the age of these gentlemen because they're actually emailing each other instead of texting each other. Like, and I'm not making light of this. Who emails each other? Who emails these things to each other? It's a text chain. So I'm not being an ageist here. I'm just saying I think younger guys probably would have handled this a little differently and done it in private. Not saying that's right. I'm just saying that these guys can't. It was just dumb. Just pushing this stuff around, especially Bruce Allen and the Washington football team email. What are we doing here? All right, let's come back, talk some Seahawks Steelers. Geno Smith taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Did the Steelers right the ship last week against the Broncos? He's George. I'm Holden Kushner in for Joe Lisi. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 204.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Holden Kushner in for Joe Lisi. George Kurtz is with me today. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 204. So, Seahawks Steelers, let's get into this here for a second, because Steelers coming off a nice win against the Broncos. I think more than anything else, that to me was Mike Tomlin just out-coaching Vic Fangio. So the Steelers may have righted the ship. And then on the Seahawks side, I think you and I need to get into this conversation of where are the Seahawks now if Russell Wilson is out for a month. If he's out for a month, you got Geno Smith in there. So first question to you, is Geno Smith at least competent enough to get the Seahawks two wins if he has to start four games?
Well, the thing about Geno, I think he's competent. Wow, you're asking a difficult question. Is he competent enough? He looked good. All right, yes. He did look good last week, right? But let's see what happens against a team that's prepared for you, not Russell, a better defense. Steelers, their issues are mainly on offense, not defense, right? So they'll do a better job here. My problem with the Seattle Seahawks offense, even with Russell Wilson, was it was pretty much, once again, bombs away. It didn't have much of an underneath passing game there. It was over the top or really not much else here. So do I think they can survive? I think winning in Pittsburgh is going to be rough. Yeah, Pittsburgh's not that kind of team. Ben has all sorts of issues. Probably the player I hate most in the NFL, by the way. So I'm not a big Ben fan. They did lose Juju Smith-Schuster for the year now. He had shoulder surgery yesterday. So there's all sorts of issues there in Pittsburgh as far as that's concerned there. That being said, Seattle, I think, has more issues. So, no, I don't think they could win this week. But. They do. After this week, they play New Orleans, an offensively challenged team. All right? They have all sorts of issues. But, you know, New Orleans, good defense. I think New Orleans could shut them down as well here. And in that game, by the way, Michael Thomas will be back. At least we think he will be. He'll be off the pup list. It's week 7. He's eligible. It's the Monday night game. So that should be all sorts of interesting as well here. So if they can just go 1-1 against Pittsburgh and New Orleans, 1-1, they do get Jacksonville week 8. I have to think you win that game. You better win that game. Then you have your bye week. And like I said, then if you get some luck, maybe Russell Wilson's back for week 10. You know, you'd be 4-4. If you can do that, you can be 4-4 and then Russell Wilson's back. I think everybody in Seattle would sign up for that. Everybody would sign up for that. You know, so I think that's the best case scenario, Holden. Do I think that's necessarily going to happen? Probably not. If you're going to get both, you're going to go 2-1 without Russell and he's going to be back by week 10? Probably not.
So the Seahawks are 2-3. They've been outscored 126-120. You've got the Cardinals in the division who are 5-0. So you're probably not winning the division. You're going to have to get a wild card. The problem is, here we go, and we got the Rams too, by the way. There's no way they're winning the division. They got to get it through the wild card, right? And here's the teams that I think are better than them: Cardinals, Bucks, Packers, Cowboys, Rams. So we got two more spots to get in there. Are they going to get in there with – here's the teams that are ahead of them. The Bears, I think the Panthers have a great shot of making a run here. The Saints have a nice little shot of making a run if their defense can step up. I like that you brought up Michael Thomas because that's going to be a boost no matter what. I don't care how pissed off Sean Payton is at him. The guy can still play football at a high level. There is a lot of mediocrity in the NFC outside of those, I would say, top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams. But they're really, if you fall to, you said 3 games without Russell. So if they fall to 3-5 by that time, I just wonder if any of these teams ahead of them are going to make separation. The Vikings have looked like garbage this year, lucked out again last week. Eagles, not sure where you stand. We just know that they're not to the Bucs level, which is why you look at the Bucs this week. Washington football team, no faith in them. Saints, Panthers. I mean, it's not looking easy here for the Seahawks if they can't, you know, be probably 500 by the time Russ comes back. There's just too many mediocre teams ahead of them.
Now, you're right. All right, cause I played this game last night, by the way. Same as that game you're just trying to play here. You know, you give you 4 division winners and the Rams. Who's going to get in the other 2 spots? And you got like 6 teams. I mean, are there 2 teams that are going to go on a winning streak? I doubt it. I doubt it because none of them are great here. None of them are great at all, you know, as far as that's concerned. So if they can, like I said, if things go well here, I think they'd be okay as far as making the playoffs. If things go well, because there are, you know, Carolina, New Orleans, Minnesota, you said. None of these teams are drastically better if they are better than Seattle. They all have their issues. You know, all have their issues. So I just don't know if they can get, you know, the best case scenario of both. They go 2-1 with Geno Smith. You know, Russell Wilson does come back after 4 weeks. Once again, it's 3 games, but there's a bye week in there. So it's 4 weeks. That's the minimum time. The minimum time they said he can come back from. So there's a lot that has to go right for them. And I just, like I said, you're gambling. You're almost like gambling a parlay on top of a parlay to get it right both ways here. Now, everything goes well for you. Mm-hmm. Maybe it does, Holden. I hope it does, you know, for an NFL fan. And I love Russell Wilson. I hope it does. But I have a hard time believing that. You know, if there was, once again, if there was a prop that they were going to go 2-1 and he'd be back for week 9, I ain't buying that. I ain't buying that at all. You know, I have a hard time believing they get lucky on both. They might not go, they could go 0-3. It wouldn't shock me if Jacksonville gets the their first win against Seattle.
So believe it or not, we've got the Steelers here still in last place in the division at 2-3. They've been outscored 112-94. Their offense is just a disaster. They put up some points last week against Denver. I think that was a little surprising. I lost that bet. I had the under 40.5 points, and they blew right through it later. But the Steelers are going to be within this game, Seahawks and Steelers. The Steelers are going to be without Juju and probably for the rest of the season. So what are they doing here? You've got Najee Harris, who the offense is built around. Claypool's back and healthy. Deontay Johnson is healthy for the time being. So those are your three big weapons. So Ben does have some talent around him still, even without Juju. But the issue still goes back to Ben. And I think last week they get a win. Ben threw a ball 35 air yards on a beautiful pass down to Chase Claypool. But if you're getting explosive plays, which is what you need in the NFL now, they've got two explosive playmakers, really three of them, with Harris, definitely Claypool, definitely Johnson. But what you're asking them to do is be Yak Daddy's yards after the catch, because he cannot spread the field. So I have a hard time thinking that the Steelers are going to cover a lot of these games, especially against teams that are at least mediocre. I just don't think the Seahawks are mediocre this week. And this line is stupid. 4.5, 5 points. Like, who wants to bet 4.5 or 5? Right? It's just, I'd rather you put it at 3. I'd rather you put it at 6.5. 4.5 and 5 is just a number that I don't even feel comfortable with. What are you going to do? You're going to tease that? You can't tease that, can you? What are we doing here with the Seahawks Steelers then? Ultimately, 4.5 is the spread, 5 at some places. 41, 42, 42.5 is the total. And if you want to go Seahawks on the money line, plus 184. George?
What are we doing? I agree with you. It's a weird number. It is. I don't think I can bet on Pittsburgh. Even though I think Pittsburgh wins the game, I don't think I can bet on them. You know, when you think Seattle here, what are we banking on? You and I have already trashed the defense, right? They don't have much of a defense. They have more points than anybody. And now we don't like the offense. Yeah. They don't have a strong running game. It's a solid running game. But I don't know if Chris Carson is going to do anything, even if he does play against the Pittsburgh front. You know, that Pittsburgh front is good here. You know, so it's going to be on Geno Smith that he's not going to be able to do. He's not going to be able to do the magic that Russell did. And come on, Russell sometimes is back there drawing up plays of a dirt, it seemed like. You know, hey, I'm going to go run around here until one of you guys gets open and I'll find you. And he was a great thrower of the deep ball. You know, Geno Smith has none of this. You know, so I don't know if he's going to be able to do any of that or anywhere near close to any of that. So that's going to be my issue. I fully admit Geno Smith looked pretty good last week in relief. It's a different ball game when you're starting. And the other team knows you're going to be in there. They prepare for you. They're going to make you do things that you don't do well. You know, so I think it's going to be a problem. I do. Problem is I don't trust the Pittsburgh offense. It's not so much Smith-Schuster. It's not. He wasn't doing anything anyway. I think he was made a terrible decision going back to Pittsburgh, signed the one-year sort of make-good deal. He had a chance to go to KC. I know it was for a little less money, but still, you would have had, your numbers would have been much better in KC than Pittsburgh. Did you not see Ben Roethlisberger in his arm last year? This is not a shock that he's having problems again this year. It's noodle arm. You know, absolutely noodle arm here. So I don't, I have trouble banking on anybody in this game. I just think Pittsburgh wins it. I'm just trying to figure out by how much.
Yeah, it's tough to back the Steelers. It really is. Even with Geno Smith. I've just seen too much of Geno. Like, the Steelers have a full week to prepare for him. And it's the Sunday night game. So, George, this is going to be a very heavily bet game. You got a massive public team in the Steelers on national television, the big game of the week. Oh, boy. There will be a lot of action. I just don't know where that's going to go. You know, is it just going to be as simple as the public looks at it and says, Geno Smith versus the Steelers? All right, we'll back the Steelers. Where do the sharp guys go on this? For me, the best play right now is just to back off and stay away from it. Maybe we can find a player prop or two. Maybe we can find ways to attack the Seattle defense now. But that would be it for me. Again, this is a game where there's so many question marks about both teams. Sometimes it's okay to just pass, George. And for me, I'm trying to handicap it, and I think that this will be the most difficult bet this week. this for me, this would be the game that is most difficult to bet. We got the Bills at the Titans, Bills minus 5 on the road. At least I have total confidence in the Bills. I have no confidence in the Steelers and the Seahawks. Raiders, Broncos, yeah, that we discussed that. It's tough for me to have 3.5, but at least I have no confidence in the Raiders, so I could see pushing it that way. But boy, this is a tough line. So as the week goes on, continue to dig into it, maybe look for some player props or come up with a side on the total. I do want to get one more thing in here before we go to break. Cowboys Patriots is another interesting line because the Cowboys are 4-point favorites on the road in New England. How are you feeling about that, Mr. Kurtz?
Well, there's a couple of things. There's three things that come to mind about this. One, we know the Cowboys are a better team, right? But they're coming off a bunch of emotional victories. But you just beat the Giants. I can see this being a letdown game. You know, this may be a big game, Cowboys Patriots, for NFL fans. For the NFL players, it's not. The Cowboys play the Patriots once every 4 years. The Patriots don't mean anything to them. There's no Tom Brady there anymore. So I think the Cowboys are going to go in there thinking they should win this game. I think that could be a problem there. The Cowboys haven't beaten the Patriots, by the way. And they never beat Tom Brady. All right, Tom Brady did not lose to the Cowboys. So I think that's going to be very interesting as far as that's concerned, as far as can they break that string. You know, I'm not saying it was always Tom Brady. Bill Belichick did a good job against them also. You know, but this is a game the Cowboys should win. They're better, much better offense. To beat the Cowboys, you're probably going to have to score 30 points. All right, that's minimum. Dallas scored 44 points against the Giants. They didn't play all that well. All right, how many times did Dak had a fumble inside the Giants' 5-yard line, another pick there? It took a while to get going here, so you're probably going to need to score 30-plus points. Mac Jones can't do that. All right, it's on the road, slower track. Bill will have something in store here, and I'm curious to see what Bill Belichick does because generally when he coaches, he likes to take away the other team's top weapon. Does he think that's Ezekiel Elliott or the run game? And I kind of doubt that, but what are you going to do, take away Lamb? Okay, they got Cooper. You know, you can take away Cooper, you got Lane. You can't take away everybody here. So I think Bill is going to have a hard time because that offense of New England is just overmatched in this game. I think it could be a letdown, though. That's my only worry as far as a Cowboy fan is concerned. And betting, I think this could be a letdown central for the Cowboys.
On the flip side, rumor out there, the Chiefs are looking to add a running back. There's a decent-sized name out there they've been connected to. We'll discuss that. He's George Kurtz. I'm Holden Kushner, Sports Grid Radio, SiriusXM 204.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Holden Kushner in for Lisi. George Kurtz, of course, here to wrap this thing up. Just seeing a report here from Terry Fowler that the Chiefs are looking into Marlon Mack, running back with the Colts, to try and add another running back. Because let's face it, I don't think they're sold on Clyde Edwards-Helaire in Kansas City. We discussed them yesterday. They're kind of one-dimensional. Now you've got an injury to Edwards-Helaire. We saw Reich throw Marlon Mack. Because remember, last week, Mack said, I want out. He threw Marlon Mack in for a play, and Mack just looked explosive. He looked good. I thought it was a little testing of the waters there. What do you think about the Chiefs needing to add a running back, and would Marlon Mack be a good addition?
Yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with Edwards-Helaire's performance. I think this is about the injury. So yeah. I think that's what they're looking into here. And we have heard for a couple of weeks that Mack is on the block. Adam Schefter also reported last night, by the way. Now, he didn't specifically mention Mack, but that the Baltimore Ravens have been checking in on an upgrade at running back. You know, I don't know if they consider Mack the upgrade they want because they may, all right, he's better than what we have, but then I got to pay the price. I don't know what the draft pick price would be for Indianapolis. You know, we're talking a fifth-round pick, sixth, fourth, third. What do they want here? First? You know, so that might come with its team's thinking as well. So I know Matias last night on Sports Radio, we were trying to figure out, you know, what back could the Ravens be looking at? And there's not many out there. So Mack might end up being the best back at all. That's out there. The trade deadline is November 2nd, so you still got about 3 weeks. But I don't think Mack will be a Colt November 3rd.
Yeah, I think he's done too. That'll be interesting. And we've talked a lot about the Kansas City Chiefs. This could be a trying time for them, because while I do like Williams back there, I think that they're going to be so one-dimensional. That defense is just so awful that it's going to be a lot rockier road for them than it's been the last couple of seasons. George, great working with you, buddy. For our producer, Andrew Torres, back in New York, I'm Holden Kushner. Thank you very much for listening to Football Full Circle. The tongue twister, George. It took the last 2 seconds for me to not get it right. Have a great day, everybody.